This portion of the show is brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training. The Jeff Horvitz Show starts now.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horvitz here. Happy to be here with you today for... I always have fun when my guest here is on, Joe Galli.
Love being on the show with you. I always say this, maybe not every time I'm here, but I think you got the best bumper music in the biz. It just pumps me up.
Yeah, that's good. We try to keep it energetic.
And when I'm driving around listening to the show in the afternoon, yeah. Bopping around town doing Chamber of Commerce business,
yeah,
keeping the business going in town.
Trying to,
And I hear that at the top of the hour, I just get fired.
Get you going, good, yeah. Yeah, I try to mix it up once in a while. And had to change it up years ago, actually, for... As the podcast got more popular, it became more complicated because I used to do a lot of music that maybe people are more familiar with. You know, I play some good old rock, good old country.
Yeah, that's what some of them
but
do.
But the problem is, as soon as you get into podcast land, you get to copyright issues versus on the radio and the rights and all that. So I was like, okay, we got to make this easier on my life. You see my fireworks there?
I saw $160 worth.
You see that price tag?
And American-made fireworks.
New
baby.
Lower price.
Ready to go.
Nope.
Ready to go.
As I have been saying all week and building up to stage one fire restrictions, just about everywhere. So if you have a big pack of $160 fireworks like I do sitting there just looking at you, you can't light it.
How far would you have to drive to legally, from this point where we're sitting, to legally be able to
light them off?
Yeah.
I don't know. It
Did
was
you get
tricky.
The Yavapai County?
Yavapai County went into stage one fire restrictions because I was going to do these in Camp Verde. And I spoke with yesterday the Verde Valley Fire Chief. They have a combined district down there.
Yeah.
And he said, no, we're in stage one, too. So stage one.
North Scottsdale's on fire.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
And that's the thing. So I was looking, the North Scottsdale fire that happened, I was saying on the show the reason why fireworks are legal in Arizona is because Maricopa County politicians and people came in and said, let's make this legal. This is stupid. Nothing's going to burn. And I was saying, yeah, they're buying them down there. You go light them up down there. Nothing burns down there. And then Scottsdale fire happens.
It's a serious issue.
It's a big one because all the homes out
it's
there.
Out there by Rio Verde. Side of McDowell Mountain.
Is that the one with the whole water issue?
Correct, yes.
And so, yeah. So
same housing development.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was hoping to do it, but I'll do it New Year's Eve and perhaps. And I put I had the Flagstaff Wildlands fire chief or person on the other day. Because I was kind of putting it to the test, because the cities can put in restrictions if the neighboring federal or state agency, so like Coconino National Forest says, we're going to stage one. That allows them, that triggers them to do it. And I was like, are we always in stage one when I'm allowed to do fireworks? Like New Year's Eve, when there's 3 feet of snow on the ground, he's like, no, we weren't last year. So I'm confident that I will be blowing something up New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I think that'll give you a clear space for...
Yeah.
You're a good-looking box.
It is. I'm going to put it away.
All kinds of colors. Yeah. One, this is called Desert Fever down here.
Some of them look
hot
a little sketchy there. Some of them are like a foot high, so you know they go at least a
foot.
Well,
you're an East Coaster originally, myself.
And fireworks are big.
Huge.
And illegal. In a lot of places. Yeah, but, man, every neighborhood. Did you remember? Because you were Pennsylvania,
Roman
right? And
candles,
I was New York, New Jersey area. Yeah. Every neighborhood had a fireworks display, even though it was illegal. The cops and the fire people were there.
They popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was just accepted. You go buy a bunch of fireworks. A lot of times people go into, like, New York City, into Chinatown. They buy, load up. Probably same thing in, like, Philly.
100%.
You load up. Roman candle wars, which I don't recommend. Did you do that as a kid?
I was on both sides of that. Yes.
And sometimes they backfire.
Yeah, that's not good.
It was a different era, Joe.
I still have all 10 digits.
It was a different era.
It was a different time.
All right. Yeah. We got some stuff to get to here. So, stick around. Joe's got a pile of information. This may be a 4-part show into next week. We shall see. Real quick though, it's heating up out there. You probably need to fix the AC part of your HVAC system. And if you do, call Gettles High Desert Mechanical. They'll get to you and get this fixed so you're not sweating it out there. And if you ever have a problem with any of your system throughout the year, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, they'll take care of you just like they've taken care of me right here in Flagstaff. Fixed my older system, kept that thing going. If you're in the Verde Valley, Sedona, if you're in the Prescott area, call Gettles High Desert Mechanical. They also do plumbing, by the way, and they'll take care of you. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. That's Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. If you got to look it up, Google it or whatever you do, G-O-E-T-T-L-E-S TTLES. Are you concerned? I know you got this list of propositions and stuff. I was talking to a business owner, a couple business owners.
Yep.
They're having a hard time.
Yeah, it's slow. The economy's definitely slowing. You can feel it.
Yeah, and the price points, the input costs, the labor costs.
Yeah, durable goods still outstripping the pace of what we're seeing inflation month over month. So in the first 4 or 5 months of this year, data through May shows that inflation has been around 4 or 5% a month higher than the previous month a year ago.
Okay.
So February was up 5 point something. It dropped a little bit in March, 4 point something over March of 2022. April kind of held right at that number, about 4% higher. Now, keep in mind, the economy's not growing at 4, 5, 6, 8%, no. Right? So the economy's growing around 1.5%. Maybe 1%, 1.5%, maybe just under 2%. And so where the concern is in the last quarter and in May with inflation is that the durable goods, foods and things that families need, medications and other things are still higher. And that's while things otherwise not necessary for a family are sort of not increasing as fast.
Yeah.
The food prices are still accelerating through the roof, and as are other necessary items, medications and other things. And so that is
troubling.
It is. And I know, you know, we're all staring higher interest rates in the face. And so that's slowed a couple massive industries that were normally very strong for our economy locally and statewide and nationally. And those include auto sales and, of course, home sales. And so, you know, coming here, a lot of stuff going vertical over there on Butler. Mm-hmm. In fact, right at Butler and 4th Street is a lot of activity, some utility trucks out there, and they're laying pavement and putting drainage in.
It's one of the last stretches of open land to develop,
isn't it? Well, this is housing that the communities needed for many, many years. And you know this. We have talked about how the chamber keeps a finger on the pulse of the economy, and we've asked our local residents through various surveys what are the important issues, and housing is always, by a 2-to-1 number, the highest concern in the community, followed then by transportation and infrastructure, the university, jobs, and the economy. Those things are all around 14-15%. Housing's at 29-30% as a number one issue of concern in the Flagstaff community. It's nice to see this stock getting in the pipeline. And there's various single-family home, multifamily that is coming on that's not student housing, that's legitimate housing, but not that student housing isn't legitimate housing, but it doesn't provide the entry-level workforce that our employees need. So to your point about employers, I think a lot of pressure. Hopefully this housing that is going vertical in a tough market, highest interest rates we've seen in a long time, is not something that stalls, because when that stalls, the construction industry stalls, mm-hmm. and then construction sales tax revenues stall to the municipality. Then the municipality has to go back and look at their budget. City mayor and council just passed their budget. No tax increase here locally at the city. However, you are paying attention to your county tax bill, right? You know that. Library district, health district, flood control district, all going up.
Yeah, they did the 2%. Statutory allowed amount, right? Which, but then it's 2% on the higher valued homes. You know,
so I had it at $150 total for the 4 taxing districts.
Okay,
health district, normal property tax district, flood control district, and the library district. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, yeah. Those 4 going up a total of $150 per $100,000 valuation.
Yeah, okay, so a minimum of $450, $500 a year.
Easily.
On top of everything else that people are struggling to pay for. Fortunately, gas prices are down a little bit from recent high prices, but up overall from the past couple of years. Housing prices are way up. Food is through the roof. You know what I've noticed, Joe, and I don't blame the business businesses and business owners for doing this. It's kind of happening fast. It's the 3% surcharge. Because you use your credit card, and most people do not pay with cash anymore. The Visa, MasterCard, et cetera, they get a hit of that, the transaction fees. And it's typically 2 to 4%. So people have settled around 3%. Most Americans didn't really realize that, hey, the vendor's paying a lot here for all these transactions. So I've been saying for years that everything costs about 3% more in America because, you know, prices have to go up. But now, instead of raising prices, maybe that 3% to help with that fee, they're just saying you will pay 3% transaction fee if you use a credit card, which is basically everybody.
It is. Yeah, it impacts everybody, and it's a way of the business recouping the expense that they're being charged for. Really can't operate if you don't offer a Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover, right? No. If you're retail. So,
it's
online. Tough. You have to provide, you have to allow people to purchase that way. And I would say 90% of Americans do purchase that way. And
a couple businesses also have a fee, a minimum wage fee. That has come up.
That's also
people have sent me the receipts.
Yes, and it's becoming more prevalent. Look, restaurants. I think I won't say where I ate out at one of the best restaurants in town last week on Friday for a brunch, late afternoon meeting from the chamber, and I walked to this restaurant, and I was shocked at the menu prices.
I know, right? Right,
breakfast $17.95.
Eggs, bacon, maybe something like that.
An omelet,
and some toast. You know what it costs to do it. But then, I thought we would have hit this, and you and I were predicting this when the minimum wage issue was happening.
Correct.
That when we reached the 15, and then eventually 16, and inflation adjusted. First of all, we were saying, well, everybody thinks inflation's 2% forever. What if inflation goes to 10%? Then that increases your minimum wages dramatically.
Last year, it went to 9% in June, July, and 8% in August, and then we saw the largest increase in the wage mandate this past January. Fingers crossed that we're at 4 or 5% in August. I don't know what the summer. What July or August will bring, or what the June number will be, but it's not cooling off. To your point,
our new normal, I hate that word, is going to be, predictions are what they are, you know, but I think we're going to be in that 4 to 5% range for years. And that's a problem when the economy, as you noted, is not growing at, you know, 1-2%.
I hear two things. I hear that we're going to have a slow, gradual decline that is met with a quick recovery. And then I hear, you know, we're going to go hard, deep and hard.
These people don't know.
We don't know what the bounce back is going to be like. But our business community relies on visitation and as a key component of our local economy. And so big weekend for us with the holiday weekend, with temps hitting 110, 11, 12 down there in the valley, Fahrenheit. A lot of traffic anticipated on I-17 northbound for the coming week. I think that's good across the board for our business community because it just means more revenue. I'll give you an example. Earlier this week with Legacy Beverage, which is two long-standing families, Otzen's and Knackard's in Flagstaff, that have come together in recent years to form a distributorship. And some of the major brands include Miller Coors and then a bunch of, microbrews, White Claw, and some other things.
Okay.
And one of the lead principals there for that business was sharing with chamber leaders earlier this week that this is probably the two busiest weeks in terms of revenue this week and next week for that business on the whole entire year.
Wow.
And that says something. Yeah. So it is still to this day a visitation economy in Flagstaff, and we're hoping to diversify, and we're looking at potential businesses coming here, small manufacturing, some others. I met with one earlier this week, can't really disclose what they do, but they would like to be here. And I sat with them over at the chamber office and talked about their business model. They're in California, by the way. They would not like to be in California. They're currently paying through the nose.
Yeah, if you haven't left yet,
regulations.
Get out.
But it's nice to have them talk to us in a business attraction sense.
Is it a challenge, though, Joe? And Joe Galley's with us. He's with the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce. Is it a challenge when you're sitting across from these folks? And I don't know if you want to share this publicly, but you're sitting there and they're looking at, maybe they are coming from California, so everything is like Superman coming to Earth and the, you know, your powers are increased, basically. But then you're looking at Arizona and you look at the Valley, of course, which is bringing in tremendous amounts of business and manufacturers. But then they look at Flagstaff with the highest minimum wage in the state, one of the highest in the nation, and then they're like, okay, my employees, where do I house them? And then they say, okay, let me look at Prescott. Let me look at other areas. I mean, is that kind of the challenge you're having, though, is those high costs?
Yeah, 100%. And it has been over the last 5 to 10 years. It's been a sad story for us because we wrote a script for ourselves that set, that put us in this position. And by that, I mean former elected officials having sat prior, probably right after you were on council. We had a succession of mayors and councils who said, well, you know, well, let me back up a second and correct myself, because I do want to say that there have been a number of folks on council in recent years that have tried to address this by putting the housing stock in that we're seeing come online now.
Okay.
And I think, I guess it goes back to probably prior to when you were on council in the late 2000s, and say that there's just been an overall mindset that we're going to try and keep town as small as possible.
Yeah.
And if we can reverse the growth pattern of town and maybe have less people here tomorrow than we do today, that that would be a good thing.
Hasn't worked out.
It's obviously not possible. Well, the chamber tracks cost of living index on a quarterly basis. So we do an analysis. We visit grocery stores. We're assigned to price 50 different items, submit them to a national group who compiles the data, and then by quarter releases that data to us. And what I've seen, you know, I've been with the chamber on and off since 2005. What I've seen over the course of that period of time on a really on a quarterly and then even on the annual basis, our housing costs have always been about 33 to 45% higher than the national average. Mm. And what that means for a business that wants to come to Northern Arizona, and because they love the quality of life here, it means that their employees and their exec team, their ownership, will have to pay 33 to 45% more for housing than they would if they were in the Valley.
Yeah.
Because the Phoenix housing is right on the national number. It's 100%, right? Mm-hmm. So it's right at the level of what the national average is. And that means that housing down there, the dollars were 33 to 45 cents more. And that's more attractive for people. And you've seen,
it's a tough sell sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
You got to have a business owner that's like, they just absolutely love the area, as we all do, and love the climate, love the mountains, et cetera, et cetera. Love Northern Arizona. But that becomes sometimes a hard sell, especially if you're a company that's reporting to a lot of bean counters and the corporate board. And it's like, okay, that's not enough.
Our housing challenges are, they're not going to get resolved overnight, although we're excited to see stuff going vertical.
Yeah, stuff's happening, yeah.
But I would say it would be great if we could get that number down to 26, 25%. We'd be a lot more attractive for long-term business investment in Northern Arizona. And I'd add, you know, when businesses look at, it's not just the wage, obviously, even if they're not paying minimum wage, they're going to pay, they're forced to pay a higher middle management wage given the high ceiling or the high floor that is the wage mandate. It's just, we could do better, mm-hmm. and we're continually pushing for these things to take place, to get into position where we're more attractive for business so that we're not reliant just on visitation. Look, right at the COVID launch period, the shutdown, March of 2020, a study came out and had Flagstaff ranked in the top 10 communities that would be most susceptible to a downturn in the global economy or the national economy, because the base of the Flagstaff economies, you know, essentially is all in one component.
Tourism.
Yeah. And yeah. We have all our eggs in that one basket.
Yeah.
And we have a great university here, and we should be, you know, making opportunities. Hospital's a great example. I mean, why wouldn't you want a brand spanking new healthcare delivery system?
Right? Well, you brought one up that I was on my list, Joe, the hospital.
But think of the partnerships. Think of being able to keep the nursing students here in a new environment, high tech, Great training.
This was
partnership with
this
the university.
This was an expansion of the hospital, which was out proposed to be out in Fort Tut Hill area, out there by the county fairgrounds, by the airport.
We have
and the council voted on the zoning change and approved.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on the hospital. I'll give you another example, more real world than even having a new medical center here, new ambulatory care center, which is right on our doorstep. Opportunity to do that. How about we have one of the best, if not the best, hospitality restaurant management programs at NAU. And we don't have a five-star resort in this town where those kids can work and do apprenticeships in that environment.
How can Flagstaff not have a five-star resort? I mean, it's just, how many tourists come through Flagstaff every year?
What's the closest five-star? Enchantment, probably, in Sedona?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. There's millions of tourists that come through.
Yeah, well, Flagstaff Canyon sees 5 million people a year,
right? they're probably coming through Flag. Everybody comes through Flag. Everybody knows Flag. That's crazy. Well, there is, just as a side note, since you did mention the hospital, there is a group out there actively gathering signatures to put it on, and they have a deadline of July 6th, I believe. They have actually contacted me, so we'll see.
Have they? They want to come in and talk with you?
I reached out, and they said they will come on, because I think if they do get the signatures, that's a conversation we have as – you know, if it's going to be on the ballot, as you've got a pile of ballot issues here.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what the deal. See, it's not for me. I'm like, I don't know. It's private property. They did do a rezone. As long as there's no city funds going into it.
No city funds going into it.
I mean, I don't know. All right. Joe Galley's here with us. Let's come back and talk about, let's get a little bit into Biden administration, federal budget. I think you had some stuff on the city budget, the state budget, just budgets overall.
I got some talking points on a couple of those.
Okay. Things, so. I want to get into, and then we got to get into at some point here, the 4th of July festivities and activities.
Yeah, update you on that.
That's why I actually called you in.
We'll save that
For then, because there's a lot of good stuff happening out there. And as always, if you got a comment, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Desert Gold Exchange has been with us here for years. This is where I buy physical gold and silver. When the inflation numbers are 5% and who knows what, and they're charging a surcharge for this, that, and the other thing, I always like to own a little bit of physical gold and silver as an insurance policy. I don't tell you how to invest, but I'd like you to educate yourself. And you can call Desert Gold Exchange and do that. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. They'll send you a free investor's kit. Talk to Justin and his family-based company based right here in Arizona. They keep their overhead low. They pass those savings on to you. I challenge them. They have some of the lowest prices on physical gold and silver out there. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Here's why. Most insurance companies use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try and route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. When you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading and save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on by on 4th Street in Flagstaff, and most chip repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
We were just talking about the real estate market with Joe Galley. Before I get back with Joe, I mean, it's if you're selling, prices are still cranking up there. And if I was selling right now, I'd call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. She's got a ton of experience in the Flagstaff area. She knows the Flagstaff area. She knows the Flagstaff market. You've heard a lot of my guest co-hosts talk about her and how they've used her, and a lot of you have gotten back to me as well. Tom and Sarah, they wanted to sell out and get closer to their grandkids, and they did that. They got a full price offer on the first day of listing. Why don't you call Kelly Broaddus and see what she can do for you. 888-446-5602. You can Google Kelly Broaddus as well, see her many five-star reviews, Broaddus, or look up your home's valuation and get more info by going to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. All right, we're talking with Joe Galley, who's with the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce. Business climate is a huge thing, and I don't know if politicians on, quite frankly, at this point on all sides and the system we've got is, I don't know if it's creating the best business climate overall. The Biden administration, for example.
Yeah, that's we got trouble at the federal level. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
At the state level, we just had Governor Hobbs in town last week. I think you're probably aware. She was in Northern Arizona.
She didn't come on the show, but that's okay.
I was this close. To recommending that she spend some time with you. I would say this. They are still getting their head around. I think they've transitioned and they put some good people in place, and they have some representatives in Northern Arizona, some representatives in Southern Arizona.
Yeah.
I think getting sworn in January and dealing with the legislature and the budget took a lot out of their team. They're new. A lot of them are new.
Yeah, a couple people had to, they left pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I forgive me because, my job is to look through everything through the business lens.
No, I get it.
And I know that there's a social agenda, and I can't comment on that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I do that almost every day. I'll do it tomorrow.
But I will say this, to your point, I think the governor, our new governor, thankfully, understands the machinations of the state's economy.
Okay.
And understands
she gets something. That's good.
And understands that it's important.
Yeah.
And okay. I know that she's been out to Intel in the East Valley.
Huge.
Yeah. Big time. Man. We're talking about $2 billion investment
out there. It's amazing to see that thing going up.
I know that she's spoken to the Arizona Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. State Chamber of Commerce and Industry. She had a chance to meet with us. We had several representatives in the room at the Chamber of Commerce. We were the first meeting, by the way, of the day, which was really nice to start her day when she came to town.
Yeah, by the end, you're like, if you're to get any governor.
Well, the rest
senator.
Of it was meet with mayor and council, meet with county board of subs, talk flooding, fire, and those sorts
of things.
It becomes
very formal. Yeah.
What we shared with her is we need broadband infrastructure here. We need continued.
You got $10 billion. The state just I thought they were sending a check to the chamber.
I can't keep up with how many checks are not coming to the chamber.
Part of one of those massive spending projects.
ARPA or
triple D, double whatever. I don't know.
Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah. It was the infrastructure package at $1.2 billion. There's supposedly $10 billion, if memory serves me, are coming to Arizona.
We have a really cool free market company that wants to be
That's what I said the other day. Yeah. It's like the free market should take care of it.
I can't mention who it is, but okay. I know they've met with
to provide broadband.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
they're coming.
Huge.
They're in other places. They're in Havasu.
Joe, I'm trying to figure out how I know I'm kind of crossing things here, but just communications in general are important to business. I mean, to say the least, right? Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out why I have trouble driving down at I-17 and having a continuous phone call without redialing seven times.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we know the road's there and everybody's driving it, trying to conduct business and talk. And
it is
hands-free,
of
course.
It's a challenge, right? And you're more attractive if you are a community and where business will come for investment. If you got businesses in California that are in major urban areas that have that, they come here looking for it. So,
yeah.
That investment is coming. We shared that with her. We shared some concerns about water infrastructure, the chamber. I think, from you get this because you sat on council down at City Hall and you know how that functions, right? When there is a massive need, or even if there's a small need in the community, the first thing they do is look to put a fee or a tax in. And over time, I was looking at the stormwater fee, for instance, before coming over
here today.
You
were talking about that in the winter. That's a massive one, huh?
It was huge. And we started at 53 cents an ERU. It's now, I think, up over $5 per one unit.
Which goes back to what I say whenever they say it's just a cup of coffee tax increase. It's like, yeah, but multiply by 900 cups of coffee now. I'm drowning in coffee.
And it goes up exponentially over 5 years. The new fee increase.
Did that get challenged at all? Or is that thing, did council finally pass that?
They did.
Okay.
They passed it at the end of January, went into effect April 1.
Okay, so.
What I would say is I want to take a little bit of credit. The chamber only deserves a little bit of credit on this one because they originally had a spreadsheet that said we need $90 million over 7 years.
Oh, man.
That was released in September of last year. And I went down to the October 15th meeting and I said, excuse me, hold on a second. We are not accepting of this because of the, at that time, inflation was 8% a month. Month over month. I said, we also have are staring a massive wage mandate increase in January in the face. I said, you just cannot take $90 million out of this business community and on the backs of residents here over the next 7 years. It's just not tenable.
It's hard to, how do you adjust that into your pricing and your operation of business? Now, I want to go back real quick because I mentioned the credit card fees that businesses are doing, but also some businesses have like the 5% minimum wage fee that they're having on there.
Yeah.
Part of me, and I had a lot of listeners chime in and say, that really frustrates me because I get to the register. I'm like, just give me the price. Just wrap it into the price of things. But then another part of me would like a receipt to come out of that register that's 9 miles long, a scroll that has here's what everything costs. I'm going to add all these fees up for you, and that's what you're actually paying. So that way, people who vote for these things, and I'm not saying you vote against every single thing, but a lot of these fees have gotten so out of hand. People will see this that maybe support these fees and say, I don't want to pay that. Because they don't realize, I think, how it really hits them.
I think the horse has been out of the barn for a while now, and that is we've allowed our municipalities, not just here, but all over the state and probably in other places in the country, I think there's plenty of places in the valley. There are people that get elected to serve in these positions, and they feel like they need to use government to solve our social challenges. Mm-hmm. And so we end up having municipalities spending money on things like climate change, climate action, sustainability. That's a huge budget item down at City Hall. There's that, no tangible result for that, right? We've seen, you know, a lot of ideas and a lot of policies.
Yeah, but Joe, they haven't banned wood-fired pizza ovens yet. Once they do that,
it's coming.
The polar bears will dance coming. And we'll be happy and we'll solve that problem.
Yeah, well, you know, they're talking about gas stoves and rebate programs. They're using tax dollars to take your stove out of your home if you don't want it. They want natural gas out of commercial buildings. By the way, all that does is drive up cost because we all know through studies that the National Association of Home Builders has done is that all electric homes are thousands of dollars more expensive than homes that provide gas.
Yeah, that's obvious. Gas. If you've ever heated your hot water with an electric hot water heater versus
getting
gas.
Getting back to the point.
So what are some of the
municipality's budget should just be, right, to pave the streets, pick up the trash, make sure we have a good police and fire department, have a court system. What else? But there's basics. 100 other things that have fallen under the umbrella that the
I think
taxpayers
you're being generous, but
well, the taxpayers are paying for this, and they're paying for it through higher sales tax, which is on your restaurant bill that you're talking about. We have the BB&B tax on top of the sales tax. That's 2%. That's going for public art and for parks and some other things. And
I think they couldn't do it legally, but you think you'd be able to flash your local card and get a discount on some of this?
Cannot. No, everybody pays.
Like in Hawaii, I went to Hawaii recently. We had our 25th anniversary, and we one of the parks, the state parks, residents were free. And I was like, they don't have anything like that. You know, you pay the taxes for all this stuff. A lot of countries, you've been to a lot of countries, Joe.
Yep.
Residents of a country to the national park for free. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I want to support the national parks because that's the email I'll get is, well, you need to support it with your entry fee. It's like, yeah, but I pay a ton of taxes.
Yeah.
So it's like, they just, every corner you turn, you're getting taxed and fee.
Yeah. And so we do our best at the chamber to try and educate our elected officials on the results of those taxes, right? And and when fees go up, and by the way, we're going to see a water fee hike here at the city proposed, I think, in January of this next year. We know that they have a consultant. They paid to hire a consultant to give them a rate study.
Hundreds of thousands,
and,
I'm sure.
And I think it was at least 100,000. Yep. But typically what happens in this scenario is the consultant will come back and go, well, you haven't raised fees in the last 5 years.
So here's your options. You can raise it this much, or this much.
And here's Peoria's fee, and here's Glendale. Scottsdale's fee, and here's Mesa's fee, and here's Bisbee and Tucson's fee, and you could have a fee that's right in the middle there somewhere. And then they go, oh, well, we'll just be right in the middle between some of these other communities, and that makes sense for us. And I get frustrated by that because I think we have larger problems at City Hall that are coming. It's no secret our Wildcat facility, our wastewater system, is timing out at some point in the near future. I'm not sure when, but it sustained itself with major investments through our tax dollars, and it works great right now, but at some point it'll get to end of life. And I think that's a really big ticket item. Our water commission is looking at this issue right now. And then we have to say as a community, well, how are we going to fund that? Are we going to go bond for that like we did for the courthouse and the public works yard? Mm-hmm. Are we going to go into debt over 20 or 30 years for a certain amount of money? We just bonded for $30 million for housing this last election.
Which was a mistake.
And then we bonded for something else. I tried to say it with a straight face, but
the government will not fix the housing problem. $30 million is a waste of money. It will do nothing for the pricing, but go ahead.
And then...
But you love coming on with me, Joe.
I don't disagree with you. We've been saying it forever. Let the housing community, let builders fix the problem.
Hey, my water heater cost $500 to repair a few years ago. Now it's $1,500 in a rental property. Easily. And that ain't the last. There's many things like that. I can give them a list, but it's kind of like just banging your head against the wall sometimes. I know you're trying to educate them, but it's like, do they want to be educated? I don't know. Okay, what else you got on the business side or on the...
On city side.
Yeah, we'll on the city the side, city. Because okay. then we'll get into some other issues.
Recently adopted, I'm not sure if you caught this, recently adopted is a short-term rental.
Yeah, you know, I caught that. $170 for the fee.
$175.
Which will fix... $175. Yeah. So that'll fix the problems.
Some notifications.
What's with the fee, though? I mean, it's like okay, why can't you just $10 fee
they
and
have
then
to pay somebody to manage this? They have to hire somebody.
It's kind of like when I was in Hawaii, they had a parking lot where they paid somebody to sit there, and I think the fee I gave them was just to pay because the parking lot was destroyed. You know,
yeah, the parking lot was in good shape.
Just, so, but anyway, what they have to do is give notification to the surrounding neighbors of their number so they don't have a crazy time. Is it like right the adjacent, the immediate neighbors?
All cities are doing this in Arizona. And this is an outlet by, so just quick history on this. You recall Governor Ducey passed or signed a bill with the legislature that said short-term rentals should be allowed to operate in all communities without any repercussions. Mm-hmm. They're a business. They're a form of a business. Many good people in this community have operate short-term rentals.
They're everywhere. Yeah.
And do that successfully to build their nest egg. And they maintain those properties. They invest in those properties. They have to. You can't have a short-term rental that's fallen down, right? So, or nobody would go there. You'd get bad reviews. So by the very nature of the business alone, it should be an enhancement in the neighborhood. However, there was a lot of backlash because in highly visited cities in the valley, I'll throw one out there, Scottsdale. People like to go to Scottsdale and have a good time, mm-hmm. and maybe they stay up beyond sleeping hours of the neighbors and have too much of a good time.
Angela shared that story on Monday. So check that podcast out, Scottsdale Getaway that got out of hand.
That got out of hand.
Now, Angela says she left at 9 p.m., so
and we're all good. But what happened is that a lot of folks started calling their mayors, and then the mayor started talking to their legislators and said, hey, you got to do something. So the legislature passed the bill, the governor signed it and said, municipalities can, in fact, go back and add some layer of monitoring and regulation. So thus, the short-term rental license, if you will, ordinance that just passed.
$175. Yeah. I don't mind a notification. I think that's a good idea, but that's a good neighbor policy. Just the cost seems a little high. How much does it cost to get a program to enter in the data? You don't even need a person.
No.
There's data. There's programs for this.
There's got to be revenue to generate. Okay. I would have been fine without it, but there it is.
Yeah. Okay.
The city recent council meeting is starting to do some property acquisition, some right of way stuff over on Lone Tree.
Okay.
So we're past the design phase there. And
roundabouts?
No, this is the overpass. So this is big news.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Are they going to not do the one lane thing, though? Remember, that's been the issue that they wanted to make it all walking and biking, and basically one car can fit through that.
Yeah. Walking and biking got got the best of the
and I don't mind having them, but you better put the lanes there because people drive cars, and even when everybody gets the magical electric cars a few years from now, we'll see if that happens, they're still going to be driving cars.
They're still going to be the same size
cars that we're driving now. That's the funny thing about that, Joe. It's like you're still going to have a car footprint. You're talking about the drivetrain.
So that is on its way.
All right, so let's do this. We still got to hit on what do we got on our pile?
We got federal stuff we want to talk about.
Federal
a
stuff.
Bit.
You got some propositions, and then I do want to get into all of the big events that are coming up. I want people to get out to all those. So let's do all that when we come back. And I'd love to hear from you as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Don't go anywhere. More to come. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Car repairs can be stressful. Jeff Horvitz here, and since most shops pay their mechanics a flat rate based on the auto repair, your mechanic can either be racing against the clock or tempted to tack on extra parts. Now, crazy country boys, they don't play that game, and their shop rates are about 30% less. Now, Big Jim makes sure his technicians are not rushing and that you only pay for the parts that you really need. As a TechNet through CarQuest Service Center, all parts and labor are backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile nationwide warranty. Now, CarQuest, that's another great company in Flagstaff, family-owned auto parts store in Flagstaff, serving you for over half a century. Don't overpay for auto repair or service. Call Big Jim at Crazy Country Boys Services at 928-607-9753. That's 928-607-9753. 928-607-9753. Crazy Country Boys Services, using only CarQuest guaranteed auto parts. Crazy good. Just past the Flagstaff Mall off the East Empire Avenue exit. All right, more next hour. Joe Galley's here with me. We got a big pile still, Joe. So we'll hit on all that. Well, some of the events coming up, a lot of the parade. That's like the best small town parade,
absolutely,
in America.
Yeah,
somebody
number one.
Claims.
I think Condé Nast voted it number one.
Okay, who's that?
Condé Nast.
All right, we'll talk about that too when we come back. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. Is the Biden economic disaster hitting your household a bit harder than you expected? Is inflation killing your personal budget? Now, Just Wireless was here for you in 2009, and they are here for you in 2023. Why would you pay full price for a new smartphone when you can get a great refurbished phone at Just Wireless and save a whole bunch of money? Or if you're like me, I've taken my smartphone to Just Wireless to get it repaired. They've taken care of cracked screens, charging port problems. They can also change out that battery. Check out Just Wireless's two locations in Flagstaff, across from the Flagstaff Mall, and also on Milton Avenue, right as I-17 comes into town. Stop on by today and see how your hometown, locally owned cell phone guru can help you save money. And also check them out at JustWirelessAZ.com. That's JustWirelessAZ.com. Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Here's why. Most insurance companies use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try and route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. When you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading and save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on by on 4th Street in Flagstaff, and most chip repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. This hour of the show is brought to you by Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff. Another hour starts now.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Joe Galley is here with us from the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce. And if you missed last hour, you got to listen back to the podcast. Look it up on your favorite podcast provider, ORAVITS, and then you subscribe. It is free. We hit a lot of ground, a lot of local stuff, a lot of Arizona stuff. So
yeah, we covered a lot of stuff.
Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce also includes Williams. I actually had on longtime mayor of Williams, John Moore.
Like John Moore.
Was on, yeah, he was on just the other day. Yeah. And he went through, I think that was on Tuesday's show. So if you want to hear about some events going on in Williams, go check that out. But by the way, John owns Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. I got to get out there, and I've been to Miss Kitty's plenty of times. Had a great steak there. I need to catch up with John and get a cold one and a steak, or maybe go out for breakfast. They have a huge portion of breakfast there, food from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Great breakfast at Miss Kitty's Steakhouse right there on Route 66. So I don't get in trouble. Do you say route or route?
I say Route 66. But I don't say route.
You used to say route, though.
Did I?
I don't know.
I said route. You're from, I say route.
Yeah, Route 66. Route 66. Like the song.
100th anniversary next summer. Did you know that? Route 66?
Is it really? We were just talking about it. Angela brought up the stat on the show the other day that officially the federal government like abandoned route, like it was like 85, because you know it got all disconnected because of the interstate system. But anyway, go out to Williams. This is a great, I love Williams, great small town, really great to drive from anywhere in northern Arizona, especially if you're down in the, maybe the warmer areas now, or if you just want to get out of the hustle and bustle of all the people that Joe is helping bring into Flagstaff this weekend and into the 4th. Head on out to, and Williams will be pretty hopping too.
Absolutely.
Miss Kitty's Steakhouse right there on Route 66. What do you want to do? Let's save the events.
I was wrong. I said Condé Nast. It was Travel and Leisure, but it was, we'll talk about the
4th. I thought you were talking about a singer. Isn't there a singer with...
No, Condé Nast is a...
That's a travel guide.
Correct, yeah. Okay. It's like Berlitz.
I was saying Kanye West.
No, I was not talking about...
Isn't that the guy that got himself in trouble with...
I think he changed his name.
With Trump, he was like just bizarre, really bizarre behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. Not going down that road.
Yeah, I could take you on all kinds of roads, Joe. But let's stick to Route 66. Or are we going federal?
We go federal. Okay. Let's go federal. What do you got for us? Look, I think since I was last on, you know, we were concerned about the debt ceiling. You and I kind of hashed that out a little bit. My greater concern, we share, I think, the same concern, is the federal spending has just been off the chain, right? I can't even keep track of the trillions.
I had on Andy Biggs, and he's on all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was one of the holdouts on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in trouble now because a study just came out that 100 members of the 535 members of Congress, you know, at ancestors were slaves. But anyway, that's a whole other story as well. But that's good. You know, you go back five generations now. But Andy was talking about, he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the budget issue and how they suspended. They didn't just raise the debt ceiling. They just suspended. It's just gone. It's gone for a couple of years, the debt ceiling.
Yeah, so I think where we shouldn't get lost in this is that we need to send back to Washington, D.C., people like the congressman that we just sent back from this district, Eli Crane, who shares a philosophy that we shouldn't be spending more than we're taking in. Generally speaking, I mean, understandably, the federal government has done that for many years, but the bill has got to come due at some point, and we're way over.
I've been thinking for years it's going to come due, and it's and Eli was on right after that vote. We were talking Congressman Crane, and I basically said, are they ever really going to fix this? Because I've been looking at this for a long time, as you have, Joe. And he's like, not until there's a catastrophe, I'm convinced now. Not until there's an economic calamity. They're not going to do nothing, and then it'll be too late to. Then your avenues are so few, Joe.
I know. As far as what your hands get tied, absolutely. Yeah. We were almost there with the debt ceiling, and the government couldn't pay its bills. I think what concerns me, and I've been talking about this for years, is that during that whole period of low inflation or 0% interest rates, 0% financing on automobiles, and low 1% on homes, and basically free money. And then the COVID spending of trillions of dollars, at some point you have to say, well, we've got $31 trillion in debt. We're approaching a point where we can't make the debt payment based on the interest. Mm-hmm. And that is extremely disconcerting because the only recourse for the federal government at that point is to institute higher taxes, take more of the money that you earn, take that money out of the private sector, which creates a cramping of and less growth or restriction
default.
Of growth.
Or default. Yeah.
Certainly don't want to be learning how to speak Mandarin anytime soon, right?
They're not going to, I don't think they will default, although future generations may demand they default, Joe, because you're going to have a whole bunch of kids that are like, I didn't do this. You know, how did you guys do this? What did you do? How did you do this?
Yeah, we're
and they're going to say, you know what? I ain't paying this. So I'm not going to say there's no chance of default, but probably the way that most countries have done this in the past.
It's going to take a lot of young people to get elected to maybe pump the brakes on this.
Yeah, but it gets to a point where I don't think you're capable of a nation as a nation of paying this back. If you start running the numbers, Joe, it gets really hard unless you inflate it out. And that's probably the more probable road they're going to take. You think inflation was bad here the past couple of years, is they'll probably do it the dishonest way, which is inflated out, which means everybody just gets shafted. So yeah, you've really got, you pay it back, which I think is impossible. You default, which, wow. Think about that. Or you inflate it out through massive, massive inflation.
Well, I hope the next federal election, the public really weighs in on federal spending, because I just think that
I don't think they will.
Well,
I know you hope, but I don't think they will, because it doesn't matter.
You've heard me say this. There's a guy out there in the presidential race. I like him. He's young. And he is spending a lot of time talking about where we're wasting money in Washington. Department of Education is one of those places. I've always said that I'd like to see those plus or minus 4,000 bureaucrats somewhere in the private sector generating more revenue rather than making decisions about education locally. I'd like that $80+ billion to go back to school districts and not go to Washington, D.C., not be taken in to the Beltway and have the federal government take their cut and then decide whether you're behaving or not behaving according to some policy and shipping it back out to a local school district. I think that's a disgrace.
There's a lot of, have you named this young person? Or are you not doing that publicly?
Vivek. Okay. Vivek Ramaswamy.
I don't know much yet. It will be interesting to see if we get some debates on both the Republican and Democrat side.
I'd love to see debates on the Democrat side.
Yeah, I would love to see.
Why would you restrict debates?
There's going to be multiple candidates. Kennedy and Biden, obviously, are the two higher up tier. But the Republican side is looking more reminiscent of the 16 election.
Yeah.
As far as the stage that was so far, I remember Trump at one point said to one of them, "You're almost falling off there. You're way out on the edge." So he might have said that to like Rand Paul or someone.
I think it's fair that you include those who are qualified on ballots.
Yes.
And we have a discussion about the future of the country, because the impact of the federal spending, of the free money, you talk about it all the time.
Oh, it's free.
Free money.
Yeah.
That has a, we all know, it's not free. It has a massive cost, and it's going to impact existing working generations and younger generations coming along. I see a lot of young people having kids, which I think is great, but we shouldn't be passing along this burden even to the next generation. It's got to get sorted out. And the way you do it is you really rein in spending. So I think from a debt ceiling debate that just took place in Washington, kudos to those like Congressman Crane and others who held the line and said, look, we have to have a reduction in federal spending, non-defense. And then, of course, I think, you know, you can the defense and where you're spending billions of dollars fighting endless wars overseas for various interests.
And they're so unpopular, all these endless wars, but then it just keeps going on, Joe.
Don't you have a Ukrainian flag next to your name on the social?
No. I mean, none of these people could even find Ukraine until this happened. It's like this, and meanwhile, we've got problems in our own hemisphere.
We exacerbated that.
Sphere of influence.
We do. We absolutely do.
Well,
and by the way, we're getting smoked by China on manufacturing. So I just met with a guy. You know him because you've had him on your show. He used to be employed here at NAU. He did the international student, and he then went to the U of A. His name is Dan Palm.
Oh, Dan Palm. Yeah. I got to get him back on.
He was just in the chamber earlier this week.
Yeah, good
stopped
guy.
By to say hello, and he said...
Hey, he knows the stuff on China and Russia.
He said, I just got back from Shanghai.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we were sitting in our chamber offices right on Route 66.
Route 66.
And there was all kinds of traffic noise. And he said, it's amazing. He said, I was in the heart of the business district in Shanghai, and there's all kinds of activity and no noise.
He said, modern buildings.
He said, it's China is almost fully converted to electric vehicles. Hmm. There are no, you know.
Well, yet they still have all the pollution because of all the coal-fired power plants.
They have to provide the power somehow, right?
Yeah,
so it's not free power.
Ton of coal. The electricity doesn't just appear. That's a perfect example of, you got all electric, but you still have to generate the electricity.
But I thought it was interesting because.
I need to get him back on, though. Thanks for.
You should. Put him on your short
list.
He's
on my list.
He is.
My list is getting shorter and shorter, Joe. I have less politicians because make your head bang against the wall.
So end of the fiscal year for the federal government is September 30th. You and I know this. We've been over this a number of times. The federal government in recent years has just passed your favorite thing, the omnibus spending bill, which is tens of thousands of pages. They all vote on it and do a big hurrah and go home for the holidays. Yep. They keep doing what's called CRs, continuing resolutions. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, this new Congress that was elected this last November, part of the condition on eventually Kevin McCarthy becoming Speaker was that they would vote on the 12 appropriations bills in Congress, that they would hold hearings and they would have separate appropriations for the federal government. And I think we go down that process here in the coming weeks. Obviously, most of them are out of the office, off the hill, out of the beltway, into the hinterland in August.
With us little people.
They come back to Main Street. You know that.
Come back and carouse with the subjects.
J.D. Hayworth used to call D.C. the swamp on the Potomac. Yeah. August, that's with the humidity and the heat. It's brutal. They all take August break, recess. They come back to their districts. And hopefully you'll get a chance to have Eli maybe in studio or get him back on the phone.
He's been here before. And you know, one thing, but looping back to recently, just past few weeks, I had Eli Crane, Paul Gosar, and Andy Biggs on. And they're all fighting against the spending. And they all agree that, as I do and as you do, that you got to cut back on the federal spending.
Have to.
But the challenge is what they're really fighting over at this point, Joe, is a smaller and smaller slice of the pie. We're talking 25% of the budget. The other 75% is on autopilot. And that's the problem they have going forward, that 75% slice of spending that they can't touch.
Social Security, Medicare.
Yeah, and all kinds of other stuff in there, a lot of transfer payments. It's mandated by law that they can't touch it. They'd have to change the law that allows them to do it. It's going to get bigger and bigger part of the budget. So that means more deficit spending.
I just pray for fiscal sanity. We got to have fiscal sanity in Washington.
They're so far down the road. So that's why, we'll move on. I preach being prepared personally for the mess that they have created, but then the American public has allowed to fester for decades.
Piper's
got to
get paid, Jeff.
Yeah, and it's going to be rough when it gets paid. But it could be a long time. Could be 100 years. Who knows? Sometimes they keep this stuff going.
I'd like to just not have it hanging over our heads.
I know.
I would like to have a clear sailing. Let's get this economy back to 3.5-4% growth.
Yeah.
January 2020, things were rip-roaring.
Yeah, get that back, you got more federal stuff you want to start hitting on?
What do you want to talk about? We'll go
you got the list.
I'm tired of the city. I've talked enough about
you. Tired. Do we wrap up the state? Let's wrap up a couple things on the state and then get to our events.
Yeah, the joint.
This is show planning while we do the show.
Thank you for your patience. The Joint Legislative Budget Committee put out their June report, monthly fiscal highlights. This is something that's worth noting.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is a report of revenues to the state. So revenues in May of 2023 were down. Which they saw a decline from May of 2022, the previous year. There was a generated loss of $183 million to the state's budget. They attribute that to the changes in tax law that the Ducey administration put in, flat tax and reduced income tax, so forth.
Okay.
And so hopeful that that is sort of a one-time thing and not ongoing, because as you know, the state has obligated taxpayers with a total budget this year of over $18 billion, I think. A lot of that was one-time monies, maybe two.
I thought it was 15 point son.
Maybe $15 billion was just the hard number, okay. And then the rest was one-time monies.
My recollection was the second largest budget in dollar terms in Arizona.
You remember what the budget
last year was
number one. 2007? Correct.
I have that list, but it was below $9 billion.
It was 7.5, basically.
I've gone back to when Ducey took office to when he left. It was a doubling of the budget from $9 billion to $18 billion in that time period. And to me, that's just it's rotten, because that's not inflation. That's not population growth. And I had I have these guys on.
The
members of the House, member of the Senate, members of the Senate. And in the past, Ducey came on a lot until I got mad at him over COVID.
Yep.
And that was the end of that. He's at some think tank now or some group now. But anyway, every year I warned these representatives. I said, you're going from 9.5 to 10. Now you're going to 11. Now you're going to 12. Oh, but we just have pent up stuff. Then all of a sudden it's up to 18. I'm like, now it's too late. you're gonna be able to dial back to 15, and everyone's gonna say, "Oh, what a big win!" When we were just at 10, not too long ago, 9 or 10.
Well,
so it's never going back down, Joe. Not much.
I like to look at history: 2007, yes. 8, 9, in the middle of the
Great Financial Crisis.
Great Financial Crisis. We had a $9.5 billion budget. We had 7.5 in revenues. We had to find about $2 billion. That's when we mortgaged our state buildings. That's when we did the education rollover, which means we didn't pay schools in the month of June. We paid them in July, so that was in next year's budget, because the state's fiscal year starts Saturday, July 1, every year, July 1. And a couple other accounting gimmicks to move monies around to balance the budget. In 7, 8, and 9, we had a budget deficit. We were number one in the country for budget deficit by percentage, not the largest dollar amount, but the highest percentage of unavailable monies to balance our budget. States required to balance its budget. Coincidentally, now this last year, we had a projected $3 billion surplus over 3 years outgoing. So that would be 23, 24, 25. Maybe 24, 25, 26.
If their predictions are correct.
Yeah. Based on revenue projections, correct. I think that's...
Which they had revenue projections going into 7, 8, and 9, too, that were wrong, but go ahead.
But I do want to contrast us because we're not in a major economic crisis currently. So we are fairly solid, the state's budget. California, as I understand, has something like a 30...
Oh, it's big.
$30 trillion budget deficit or today.
A billion, excuse me.
$30 billion.
And today. You know, the funny thing is during COVID.
That's crazy.
And I'm typing in California budget deficit. During COVID, they were touting the surpluses they've got.
How are they
going
to pay?
They're going on and on. And I was like, this is all federal boondoggle inflation, you know, all this spending stimulus coming into the state.
That was the ARPA money.
And they went in. So here's, I Googled California's budget. California lawmakers, some AP, approved a $310 billion budget on Tuesday. It closes a nearly $32 billion budget deficit.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, that's, more than double. Or at least double our state's budget. Their deficit is ours. Of course, they have 40 million people, but Arizona's not small anymore. We got what,
we're growing.
Eight?
Well, we're getting a lot of Californians. Here's what I would say. The state is responsible basically to do three things: to medicate, incarcerate, and educate. The Medicaid part
sounds like a song.
It's the tough one for
us.
Wait,
say that again.
Medicaid.
Incarcerate.
And educate.
Medicate. We could maybe combine those into one word.
We know that the university system, community colleges, major universities, and the unified school districts and other schools are funded through state payments, right? Mm. And then, of course, we know that the prison system funded by the state. The third aspect is what's called ACCESS, or the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System. And what happens with the state, as I know it, I'm not an expert on this topic, but I'll share a little bit of what I know with your listeners. And that is that the federal government says, hey, and they do this to all the states. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, we're going to give you some money to take care of people that can't afford health care, and you can pay for their health care, but you have to cover a certain amount of people up to a certain population. So at one point, it was 100% of the poverty level, whatever the federal government says the poverty level. Then when Jan Brewer was in office, Obama said, we want you to cover up to, I think, 130% of the federal poverty level. And they kept raising the threshold, baiting us with federal dollars. And then the legislatures kind of get their hands tied because they say, well, we're getting this federal money, but we can't spend it unless we agree to broaden the coverage. And that's how you end up having more people come on to the state's healthcare program and then get the care. And then that's how you increase the expenditures on the Medicare side. Medicaid, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is interesting that it's
Medicare is for Medicaid, seniors.
Educate, and then incarcerate.
Yes.
Is that like the circle of life there?
Educate and incarcerate. Well, I'll tell you what.
That's the biggest. Education is 50% of the budget, right?
Look, I was saying this back in 2014. The other portion of this that's really no one talks about, no one has a finger on, and you know this to be true, is that Arizona's taxpayers are paying for a population in the state of Arizona that are not here legally for all three of those things. Healthcare, they're in our prisons, and they're in our school systems. And that's a tough one, too. And they estimate anywhere, I think back in 2014, the number was something like $3.5 billion annually for...
In that cost, in those costs.
To pay for those three things for illegals in the state. That's a third of the budget.
Yeah, and meanwhile, go back to the federal and international stage. We got, you know, all the money pumping into Ukraine, for example, and around the world.
$6 billion.
And we got so many problems here to deal with. I hope that we're going to get to a point in America where people wake up and say, and I'll go back to Trump administration, America first. When are we going to get to that point where we say, we got to take care of, and this goes down to personal level. You take care of your house first, and then you start branching out into the community and helping others. And you know, you want to be gracious with charity, but you got to make sure your house ain't falling apart first.
Yeah.
And that you have shelter for your immediate family.
Yeah. I get back to the local level. I think in all areas in the state, the cities can do better to streamline and be more efficient.
Yeah.
And they have to embrace growth. They have to embrace economic activity because it generates more revenue.
It's more revenue. Yeah. Okay. Let's come back with the events. With Joe Galley from the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce. You know what? Waiting till a recession becomes official would be very late to make any constructive changes to your portfolio. Glenn Least and his team over at WT Wealth Management, they know that predictions about what the markets might do are often wrong. So that's, it's better to prepare than to predict. Joe and I were talking about this. A lot of predictions just don't come true. So why don't you call Glenn and have him help you strategically position your portfolio based on where you are in your financial life, not some prediction. I always tell you, educate yourself as much as possible. Surround yourself with people that, first of all, you can get along with. And I think you're going to be able to get along with Glenn, but also are very knowledgeable. I have some stuff that I'm doing with Glenn. I don't tell you who to invest with, how to invest, or anything like that. But I'll tell you that I've worked with Glenn now for a couple years and his team. Call Glenn for a free complimentary consultation at 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Namarco's Pizza, voted best pizza in Flagstaff.
You're listening to The Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, we'll finish up here in a second with Joe Galley. A lot of events going on throughout northern Arizona. When you get back from the long 4th of July weekend, or maybe you're working on a home purchase right now or a refinance, Kim Dawson will be able to help you out at Nova Home Loans. She helped me out with an investment property last year, did a great job. Don't forget that she can get you a pre-approval letter in hand, and when you get that, sellers know you're serious. It's almost like having cash in hand. Nova Home Loans is Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, and Kim Dawson is the girl up here in northern Arizona to get stuff done. Give her a call, and she should be able to help you out just like she helped me out. Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans at 928-310-6458, or go online to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. All right, Joe Galley's here with the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce. And the first thing that comes to mind this time of year, Joe, is the downtown flag, or which is called the Flagstaff 4th of July Parade. When, where, what? et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, great. So I'm so thankful that you asked. We have great partners, Waste Management, EPS, Knackered, Pepsi. I know a lot of them support your program and support your station. And we're grateful for our business community and Flagstaff that steps up to make us to help fund this through sponsorships. Desert Financial is another one. Twin Arrows is another one. And then we've got a host of stage sponsors. Please make your way out to downtown Flagstaff. The city is a great partner on this event, Parks and Rec. I just did a walkthrough with them earlier in the week for the parade event. We'll have about 100 entries. We stage up in the north end. We try to be sensitive to our residential neighbors on the federal holiday, Independence Day, celebrating
the nation's independence. They move there, though. They know there's a parade.
Well, we've had some
but you
run-ins.
Still want to, yeah, yeah, you still want to be respectful, yeah.
But the good news is that the community comes out en masse, and we get a lot of visitors that come downtown for this event. Streets are closed early, and the parade goes off at 9 a.m., starts with Guardian helicopter, does a nice flyover downtown for us. Yeah. That's very cool. We've got three staging areas where you can hear announcers, you know, who's going through the parade. Julie Pastrick, our president, CEO, will be up at the Weatherford. The Weatherford, another great sponsor mm-hmm. with us on this event. Before the parade, we partner with Run Flagstaff to do the Downtown Mile. I want to talk about that event a little bit because I cannot stress enough. I'm sure you know this. You see them all over town. We have a tremendous professional running community.
It's people internationally. Can I say something real quick? Because earlier we were talking about the vacation rentals and whatnot. We have one on our street in East Flagstaff. Okay. And it was last year that somebody from another country, a running team, was renting that house for like a month to compete and train at the high altitude.
Yeah.
So,
And we're talking about Olympic runners. We're talking about world champions. We're talking about many of our NAU current and former national champions. I think NAU's cross country teams won the national championship 6 out of the last 7 years.
They just did recently, I thought. Yeah.
3 in a row, or 4-peat or 5-peat. I can't keep up with it. But and it was close this last fall. But I follow some of those guys, and it's really just fascinating. There's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of support in the economy for this. And Run Flagstaff and their team, they do. And by the way, you can sign up online for this event if you want to run. They've got all age brackets. They've got kids. And it's a great event. Starts at 6:30 and goes just
6:30 in the morning.
6:30 in the morning. They've got a mile course. They'll run the pro race later.
And do they have a quarter mile course?
They don't. Okay. It's a full mile. It's the downtown mile. You got to run the downtown mile. I was out for it last year, and I saw it, and I said to myself, this is something else. The town really comes out and supports our running community. Yep. The chamber supports Run Flagstaff. We work with them in partnership to pull this event. And this event started maybe 10, 12 years ago with less than 100 runners. Last year, I think they had 800 runners total.
Oh, wow. Wow. Is it a competition, or is it just a fun type run?
There is a fun run aspect of it. But
prize money?
Yes. And they have various – and they do a women's pro race and a men's pro race. And I believe this gal, Rachel Schneider, who hails from Flagstaff, won the women's pro race last year, and she ran in the Olympics in Tokyo.
That's really cool.
It is super cool. So I wanted to get that out there.
Okay,
a couple
other things. Wait. 6:30. 6:30 on what day?
July 4th.
It's on the 4th. Okay, correct. So 6:30 a.m.
Yep.
July 4th, downtown Flagstaff is the running thing, and you can also sign up downtown. Is their site?
It's called the Downtown Mile. I don't know what exactly their site is.
But you go to the chamber? Okay, we'll put it in the podcast. We'll get it. Joe will get it to me.
Runsignup.com.
Runsignup.com. Okay, because I know Mark Howard is a frequent guest co-host. He runs a lot, too, and his wife, Rachel. So maybe they'll be. Okay, and then after that, on July 4th, which is Tuesday.
Yep, parade.
Is the parade at what
9
time?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. So it starts at 9?
Yeah, it starts at 9.
So you've got to get there a little earlier if you want.
You've got to be down there by 8.
Yeah, but that's a good time because it's not baking hot, and it's going to be a hot weekend into the early next week.
Yeah.
But not by... what was it going to be, 80s? But not that time of day. It won't be that hot.
No, but it'll be a nice morning, and it'll warm up quickly.
Bring an umbrella.
Sunscreen. Bring an umbrella. Yeah. Make sure you're protected.
I never used to do the umbrella. I thought, God, I look like such a wimp.
I got to do it.
I think the umbrella is in now. I mean, it's not coming back like fanny packs. I'm not going to do that. But the umbrella, I highly encourage that.
You have to. Keeps you cool. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to protect yourself.
Don't pick on me.
And sunscreen.
Don't bully me, Joe.
And water. Make sure you have it.
Yeah, plenty of water. Sometimes they pass stuff out, but you don't want to rely on that.
A couple other things. Good partners with us happening this weekend and on the 4th of July. Of course, the Flagstaff Symphony is out at Fort Tuthill. They do a
live show.
We've
seen that before. That's good. Yeah. Is that, what day is that?
That's the 4th.
That's the 4th as well.
In the afternoon.
Okay. And they're doing a light show for the fireworks type looking thing.
Yeah,
there's no fireworks.
Yep.
Is it going to be, because Olivia was like, eh, I don't know, laser light show. Have you seen it? Is it?
I have not, but I know people that have been.
And they said it was okay? Year.
It's fantastic. So,
I just wish we could have fire. I wish it wasn't so dry. I wish we had monsoons going, but.
It's a good thing. Yeah. I wish we had.
Twin Arrows having fireworks?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think everybody's uber sensitive about
it. I heard Cottonwood is, and I think Prescott. Williams is waiting till like fall to do theirs.
Downtown Business Alliance is doing live music on the square, Heritage Square, after the parade for the duration of the afternoon, and they have a movie in the evening at
the
Heritage
movie?
Square. What is the movie?
See, I need this info.
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
I need this info. So, they're having music, just like different groups.
I'm going to tell you what the movie
is. He's going to get that. It better be good. I know that my country club was having a movie and ice cream. We're not sure where the funding's coming from the ice cream.
I don't have. Yeah, so you have lights on the lawn at the country club.
Yeah.
And that happens.
But we just paid a $2,000 assessment fee, so some people are a little aggravated right now because
they're not going the lights on the
lawn. They're going bankrupt. Well, no, they're just like
Lake Elaine stuff. That's
I know, but I had to pay for it.
Way in the weeds.
Yeah.
Continental homeowners.
I know. Don't you like how I divert you to different things? Okay. So
don't you like how I'm up on that?
I know. How do you know this stuff?
At least Continental's not going bankrupt. You got to keep them afloat, right?
I voted against it, but they're going to hate me because of it. So just to recap, 4th of July parade on the 4th, Independence
Correct.
Day parade, downtown Flagstaff, 9 o'clock. Before that, you can watch the
Downtown Mile.
And then you got music. Then you've got some kind of movie that Joe's unsure of. So
movies on the square. The Sandlot.
Sandlot. Oh, yeah, that's
so that's Adam Sandler. Yeah?
Is it?
No?
I don't know what that is.
Maybe it's not.
Yeah. Okay. I guess. I don't know if I ever saw it.
You have, let's see.
Sandlot.
You got Art in the Park. That's Wheeler Park. That's over the weekend. Make sure you get out to Wheeler Park.
Art in the Park? Weekend.
Yeah. That's a, Hey, something for everybody.
I know. People are into art.
I'll tell you what.
Everybody says they like art, but it's like, I go to a museum. Have you been to like the Louvre and all that?
I've not been to the Louvre, but I've been to some pretty cool art museums.
I'm good for an hour or two, and I'm pretty good.
Picasso exhibit at the Bellagio.
I'm not very safe. Yeah, it's like a baseball movie.
I've seen a great Renoir.
Yeah.
Luncheon of the Boating Party in a museum in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. It's right up the street from where
I am. What else you got going? Is that, that's pretty much the,
for
some
the fourth,
of it.
That's yeah, it. You know fourth. What's missing? What I loved, I want to go back nostalgia, 55 years. This ended about 10 years ago, but the horse race is out.
I had a good time. That was always fun to watch that. Is never coming back. Or what did they, what the stands were getting like beat, right?
I think the track could use some improvements, and if it has to do with the horse racing industry in the state and Yavapai Downs, who has a track down there and outside Williamson Valley, outside north of Prescott Valley.
Yeah.
They kind of are not in business currently.
That's always a fun one because you go out there, watch the
great.
Horses. And I think they used to have that sometimes. I don't know if it's the same time as the county fair, of course, which is.
It was during the 4th. Yeah. County fair is always Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Okay. So bottom line, plenty to do out there. I don't want to steal Flagstaff's thunder because it's Joe's time, but
FlagstaffChamber.com for all your events.
Okay. Do that. Yeah. And then, I mean, if you can't get up to Flag, there's so many in your local communities, whether it's, we had John Moore on, there's Williams activities going on left and right. There's so much there. Cottonwood, Camp Verde, Prescott area. So it's a good time.
It is.
It's good. And remember what we're all out there celebrating.
Independence Day.
Independence Day. And,
we were ruled by a king.
Yeah, and God, there's so many similarities nowadays.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is tough.
No and taxation without representation.
I know, and I don't. And the taxation amounts, if you look back on it, were paltry compared to where we're at now. Yeah. And everything the founding, so many of the things the founding fathers warned about have come to light.
They're right
such a wise, yeah. such a wise group of folks, and such a unique time in history.
They gave their livelihoods,
And they were ready to hang for all of it.
Some of them,
you know, they were committing treason at the time. Joe, I always appreciate it. I hope you get some good time off, maybe enjoy some good barbecue and all that.
I hope you have a great time with the family this weekend.
All right. Folks, hang tight. And remember, comments are always welcome. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
Gutter Helmets in its third year advertising with us here in the show, and there's a very good reason for that. So many of you have been so happy with Gutter Helmets' number one gutter protection system. This is not just a leaf filter or a screen. This is a reverse multi-patented curve that deflects all the pine needles and all the debris. So many of my neighbors have said so many great things about Gutter Helmet. So many of you have emailed me over the past 3 years. Now in Arizona, Gutter Helmet has over 50,000 feet installed. In the U.S., over 80 million feet installed. Over 40 years experience, Gutter Helmet offers the best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty and on performance and materials. If you don't want to clean those gutters again, you don't want to go up on your roof, then you need to call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now at 928-318-6555. By the way, mention the Jeff Horvitz Show and you can save up to 30%. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now at 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555 or go to gutterhelmetsnaz.com. This is Jeff Horvitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. Thanks to Joe Galley for spending that time with us, giving us all of those updates. Get to a couple of other issues here before we check out for the day. And as always, love your comments. Get those in anytime. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I'm looking at CNBC, and this happened earlier. Supreme Court rejects affirmative action at colleges as unconstitutional. This was one of the last big remaining issues in front of the Supreme Court before they're gone for a while here. Supreme Court ruled that affirmative actions from CNBC admission policies of Harvard and University of North Carolina, which gave weight to a would-be student's race, are unconstitutional. And I would add that it's not just Harvard and University of North Carolina. Obviously, a lot of universities have been doing this and taking people based on their race versus taking people based on the merit, their grades, et cetera, et cetera. This goes on to say the ruling is a massive blow to decades-old efforts to boost enrollment of racial minorities at American universities. The court's majority opinion said that both Harvard's and UNC's affirmative action programs unavoidably employ race in a negative manner, involve racial stereotyping, and lack meaningful endpoints. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, in a sharp dissent, of course, to the opinion, said today this court stands in the way of and rolls back decades of precedent and momentous progress. So that one was a big ruling today. There was also another one that came out, talked about this a bit in the past. There was a postal worker who doesn't want to work Sundays. So this is from NBC News. The case concerns an evangelical Christian who claimed the U.S. Postal Service did not do enough to accommodate his request to work on Sundays. He took this all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they have ruled in favor of this guy, saying that, yeah, he does not have to work on Sundays. Here's a bit from this article on NBC News. The Supreme Court on Thursday made it easier for employees to seek religious accommodations in a case involving a lawsuit brought by an evangelical Christian mail carrier who asked not to work on Sundays. And we've talked about this one in the past. Guy worked there for quite a while, and they didn't, you know, the post office has really changed, especially the past 10 years. Sometimes I feel bad. I've had packages delivered on a Sunday, and I'm like, I really didn't need this. You could have delivered it tomorrow. But when you order something, let's say you order something from Amazon or wherever, they're out there all the time delivering these things, even on Sundays. And a lot of times it's just unnecessary. It'd almost be nice to have a box when you check out at these places that say, you know, no rush here, deliver it. You don't have to deliver it on a Sunday. I'm sure the system's not designed that way to specify things like that, but it sure would be nice, because, you know, some book or something that you order, or some menial thing, a pair of socks or something, is not necessarily a Sunday emergency, and I'd rather have people not have to work. And if it's a priority, then you maybe pay extra to get things on Sunday. That's how it used to be not too long ago. All right, love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. As you know, the podcast is free. Subscribing is free, and I appreciate everybody who's done that. Just look up, you do the Jeff Orvitz Show, or you just type in Orvitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, on your favorite podcast provider, which most of you guys have on your phone and your smart devices, and please subscribe and give us comments. Tomorrow, the weekly roundup, plus we'll announce the winner of this month's giveaway. Everybody have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon. If you're buying or refinancing to consolidate high-rate credit cards, don't be misled by teaser interest rates online. Hey, this is Jeff Orvitz encouraging you to call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans to save time and money. As Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, Nova Home Loans makes local decisions like a bank. And because they're also a broker, Kim Dawson has access to all the best programs. Move your offer to the front of the line with Kim Dawson's pre-approval letter. It's the next best thing to having cash in hand. For purchase or refinance, call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. Oh, and by the way, for a limited time, get a $250 gift certificate. Save $250 off your lender fees on any loan in the next year. But you got to call 928-310-6458. That's Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans at 928-310-6458.